morning. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and welcome to First Presbyterian Church. On behalf of the worship committee, I'd like to thank everyone that stayed last Sunday to decorate our beautiful sanctuary. Thank you so much. A few announcements this morning. We are still collecting the thank offering, so the envelopes are in the pews. Our pledge cards, if you haven't returned that, go ahead and get that back to the church office. Michael East will be updating our directory, so if you need a new photo, he will be here in the Narthex next Sunday and the following after church. And then two very important announcements have their own insert in the bulletin, so I won't read them to you, but the Presbytery is sponsoring an Advent daily Bible study and devotion, and so you can sign up for that with the website that's listed. And then with the coming of Advent becomes our annual Meals on Wheels, and we prepare a little over 300 meals every year, and it takes everyone. So there's a job for everyone, and for your neighbors and your friends and anybody else that you can round up. So be thinking and planning for that. If you are planning on purchasing a turkey, this is not in the bulletin. If you're planning on purchasing a turkey for Jamie to cook, it needs to be between 12 and 14 pounds. Anything more than 14 pounds won't cook. And those need to be thawed and delivered to the church by the 18th of December. And they can just put them in the refrigerator here. If anyone has any questions, feel free to see me after church. Or Libby. Libby's in charge. So she didn't know that, but she is. And while we prepare for the coming or the birth of Christ, then don't forget to sign the ritual friendship pad. And so I don't think there's any other announcements. Does anybody else have announcements? Let us worship the Lord.
Watch and wait, for Christ is coming. Light candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. Remembering the promises of God with prayer, we light the candle in hope. Hear God's promise of hope, Jeremiah 33:14-16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to be spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety, and this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Let us pray. Faithful God, out of death you bring life. Renew us in hope that we may be alert to the burgeoning of Christ's advent among us. God of promise, the Lord be with you.
And
Let us worship God.
Please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 82, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. You can follow along on in your pew Bible on page 738. Hear the words again. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Did you notice what candle was lit today? The hope candle. Did you notice something else about up here? What's not in the manger? There's no baby Jesus in the manger. Why do you think that is? That's right. He was born on Christmas Day, and it's not Christmas Day yet. Do we think there will be a baby Jesus there on Christmas Day? We know there will be a baby Jesus. And that's what's called Christian hope. Christian hope is that we know that God keeps God's promises. It's not just a wish. You have something you wish will be under the Christmas tree? Probably. But you don't know for sure it's going to be there, unless I guess your mama may have promised it. And I'm sure she keeps her promises too. But a wish is just, a wish and a hope are not the same, at least not a Christian hope. A Christian hope is knowing with God's assurance and with the word of the prophets that something's going to happen. We know baby Jesus is going to be born on Christmas Day, and we know that Jesus will come again. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that your assurances to us are more than a wish. They're a Christian hope. They're an assurance. We thank you that you love us and you're there for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Testing. Okay, now you can hear me. Okay. This little Advent hymn has several descriptions for names of Jesus. But two of them really stood out to me this week as I was practicing. One of them was Dayspring, which means the dawn or morning. And Zacharias used Dayspring from on high as a metaphor for the coming Messiah. And so Dayspring you'll hear. And then also Daystar. The star which precedes and accompanies the sunrise. It's found in 2 Peter, we've heard he is the bright and morning star, and that's day star. And isn't that our hope as we enter this season of Advent?
Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the everlasting light, the Son of righteousness, arise and triumph o'er these shades of night. Come, thou long-awaited one, in the fullness of your love, and loose this heart bound up in shame, and I will never be the same. So here I wait in hope of you, all my soul's longing through and through, and Dayspring from on high be near, and Daystar in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn until your love in me is born, and joyless is the evening sun until Emmanuel has come. So here I wait
Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, beginning with verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the power of the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things will begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. See also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Used to be, I couldn't stand to know the end of a story before I read it, or the score of a ball game before I've watched it. Now, I record the Dallas Cowboy games and wait for the score of the game before I watch it. Like my dad, I can get really upset when the Cowboys play poorly, particularly when they lose. Now I inoculate myself from disappointment by knowing the end before I watch a game. Now, if I'm watching a game and Dak Prescott throws an interception, I can tell myself they're going to pull it out anyway. This is probably healthier, too, because my blood pressure doesn't go up on bad calls by the referees like they used to. So why am I talking about football in church? other than the fact that everybody knows the Dallas Cowboys are God's team. You know, you heard that Texas Stadium had a hole in the ceiling so God could watch his team play. Actually, the point is, God has told us the end of the story. We know that God will win the victory, and God's kingdom will have no end. That's the point of apocalyptic literature in general, and apocalyptic passages in the Bible in specific. An apocalypse, and the word apocalypse literally means, like the book Revelation, means a revealing, a telling of the end of the story. When we know the end of the story, we do not have to fear the present. When we know that the end is in God's hands, everything that comes before is just details. Important details, but details leading to the ultimate assurance that good will prevail, that God will prevail. Today's scripture is a little apocalypse. It is reassuring because God did not say to ignore the trouble, but that there would be an end to the trouble when God's kingdom will prevail. Let's look at the details of this scripture and see what Jesus says. First, quote, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. Do we see distress in the world today? Do we see nations confused by climate change and other signs in the weather? What are we to make of earthquakes in Alaska, fires in California, flooding in Houston, and many other examples near and far? Is the end here? What should we do? Should we run around in circles like Chicken Little and say, the sky is falling, the sky is falling? Jesus says, quote, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Do we see fear and foreboding? Unfortunately, fear sells. Our newspapers are full of car wrecks and shootings and mayhem. To watch the news, you'd think that there's violence or natural disaster on every street corner. Fear and foreboding. Is this a sign of the end times? Or is it a sign that our eyes are on the wrong thing? Jesus reminds us, quote, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That is the end of the story. That is what our eyes should rest upon. Not one, and certainly not Jesus, is saying that we should ignore all the ills of the world. Jesus was very involved in feeding and healing and speaking out against injustice. Jesus does not tell us to ignore the signs of the time. Jesus tells us to recognize that the signs of the times point to the ultimate resolution, which is in God's hands. This does not mean we forget today. Quite the contrary. Jesus says this, now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Stand up and raise your heads. This is how Jesus wants us to respond. This is how our Prince of Hope responded. We do not hunker down in fear and despair. We do not hide and wait for better times. We respond to the conditions because that is what Jesus did. And that is what Jesus would have us to do. Hope has three components. Hope looks to the past and sees how God has been faithful to God's people in the past. Hope looks to the prophets of old who told the children of Israel that they would find a new home in Zion. Hope looks to the prophets who in an ever-expanding circle included the nations of the world. Isaiah said, "Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And that even Gentiles would serve as priests. Hope has a future component. Hope takes into consideration the promises of God, which have been fulfilled in the past and will be fulfilled in the future. Hope listens to Jesus, who promises to come again on the clouds to take us to be with God. Hope recognizes that God has a plan that may be beyond our finite comprehension, but which holds us secure in a place God has prepared for us. Third, Christian hope has a present component. Christian hope sees the signs in the present day and responds faithfully to those signs. Christian hope recalls the love God has for the world that God created, and then responds in love to the world now, in the present. That is what Jesus would do. In a passage like today's Little Apocalypse, Jesus sounds otherworldly. But in his book, Living Hope, David Jensen, Dean of Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, said this: "If Jesus is an apocalyptic prophet, he's not an otherworldly prophet. For his ministry is decidedly this worldly, offering hope to the world in healing from disease, repenting sins, and restoring the lost to table fellowship." Jensen reminds us that Jesus says in John, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus' warning of the events of the end times does not spend much time in the future, but emphasizes how we live in the present, drawing on the faithfulness of God revealed in the past. Jesus draws us to the present with a telling of a parable. Quote, "Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. See also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." One of the things I love about church camp are all the beautiful trees. For Jesus, the trees he saw were fig trees, For us, they might be oak or pine or dogwood. When we see the green and deciduous trees, we know that spring is coming. As sure as the seasons will change, God is in control. When we look to present-day events, we remember that the future is secure with God, even if those events are troubling. So how do we act? Jesus says, quote, "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." End quote. So after another day of violence bombarding our news cycles, it's tempting just to pour another glass of wine. But Jesus tells us not to let the worries of life overtake us. Drunkenness is not the answer. We're called to be alert to what we can do and respond as Jesus would. We are encouraged by Jesus to pray for strength, not to rely on our own strength. If we are alert and relying on prayer, we will be ready to answer our Lord when He comes. And what will that homecoming be like? What do we have to look forward to? What is our Christian hope? In this first Sunday of Advent, just like the prophets of old, we look to the future with God's assurance. We do not look to the future like a child wishing for a bike under the Christmas tree. We look to the future with the promise of God ringing in our ears. We look to the future with the sure and certain knowledge of God's love for us, expressed in the Christ child, promised and delivered 2,000 plus years ago, and promised to come again. We look for the Prince of Hope, who has delivered us and who will provide for us now and forevermore. Amen. Having heard the word of God to you, read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words printed in the bulletin taken from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? Out of Israel, God in due time raised up Jesus. His faith and obedience were the response of the perfect child of God. He was the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, the beginning of the new creation, and the pioneer of the new humanity. He gave history its meaning and direction and called the church to be his servant for the reconciliation of the world. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 104. O Lord, how shall I meet you? Thank you. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Please stand as you're able for the doxology. Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Remembering the world that God so loves, we pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, "Let your will be done on earth as in heaven." We pray for the church. Restore what is lacking in our faith. Help us to increase and abound in love for one another and for you, our God. Emmanuel, come. O come and save us. We pray for the world. Teach us to interpret the signs around us. Warnings of disaster and destruction. Bring peace and healing to this planet. Emmanuel, come. O come and save us. We pray for our communities. Bless our houses and neighborhoods with your justice and righteousness, so that we may all live in safety without fear. Let your will be done. We pray for the earth. Grant us your vision of the world to come. Fulfill the healthy planet we hope for. Let your will be done. We pray for loved ones. Remember those who lift their souls to you. Surround them with your steadfast love and preserve them from their troubles. Let your will be done. Sovereign God, keep us watching and working for the promise of your heavenly realm until all the earth rejoices at your coming in glory through Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the glory to God. Hymnal to number 92. While we are waiting, come. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Remember the faithfulness of God to his people, justifying their hope. Look forward to the assurance of a future squarely in the hands of our loving Lord. Live today faithful to the Prince of Hope. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.